Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Joining us on the line is Barry Kagenson, Chief Executive Officer at Aurea Senior Living. A very, very good morning. Thanks for speaking to us. How are you?
Morning, Howard. Thanks for having me up. Thanks. I'm on the show. I'm good. Thank you.
Excellent. So, it's kind of a little bit cruel, isn't it, that we say, right, we're going to be testing this new registration site. Whoops, it's live. No, it's not. Let's try it at 4 o'clock, start again. But we're actually trying it out on people over 60 who are the least technological as a rule, because it's not the case of everybody, but the least technologically savvy of our entire population.
Yeah, I think, Howard, that's often the perception, but I think, being in the senior living space and having lots of interactions with people in this age category, I think we'd all be surprised by the amount of technological savviness, if I can use that word, of that generation. And I think we've seen it quite a lot, during this COVID-19 period, where they've really taken to Zoom, to using Zoom and to, especially online bridge is a big thing now.
Oh, really?
And a lot of people are saying that when COVID's over, they're not actually going to go back to playing bridge normally, or a lot less if they do, because they're quite comfortable and quite happy playing online bridge. They find it quite convenient and, in a lot of ways they find it better. So it is quite interesting. I think the uptake of technology and the proficiency is probably a lot higher than one would think.
I would imagine, I guess, and also it allows interaction with people that they might not have seen or might not be able to be in contact with.
Exactly right. Yeah.
So how do we? What about people that aren't? Because there are people that are not technologically comfortable, and there are people that don't have access to technology. We assume, in the bubble that we live in, that almost everybody does have some form of access or another.
So I can only really speak about our senior living communities, and we took the decision as soon as the announcement came out to register all our residents, and we communicated that and actually asked them if anyone would prefer to register themselves. And it's almost contrary to what I was saying earlier, but I think out of all our residents, we maybe had one or two who said no, they don't want us to be in control of the process. They'd rather do it themselves. So we are assisting residents. In fact, we take in charge of the whole process for them. We'll track all communications coming in from the Department of Health. We'll track vaccination times, assuming they have to go somewhere outside of our communities to be vaccinated. We'll make sure that happens. The talk at the moment in terms of aged care facilities is that we'll actually be vaccinating our own residents.
I was just going to ask that. I would hope that you don't need to schlep people who are frail, maybe more vulnerable, to different sites.
Yeah, so the Department of Social Development, it's interesting because this kind of falls between two government departments. So aged care facilities fall under the Department of Social Development, and the vaccination program falls under the Department of Health. So we're actually dealing with both. One doesn't really know which will come first, an instruction to go to a vaccination center, Or the fact that vaccines get delivered to these aged care facilities for them to be able to vaccinate people, to be able to vaccinate residents ourselves, essentially. Mm. So we're not sure. So we're obviously just taking both lines. There's a saying that says it's okay to be right even if it's for the wrong reasons.
Absolutely.
So we'll just try both avenues, and whichever happens first happens first. So hopefully we will get the vaccines en masse and be able to vaccinate residents ourselves. But if they get that golden SMS that everyone's waiting for to say, go to X spot and have your vaccine, obviously we'll be prepared to take that communication, make sure it gets to the right place, and make sure that people get vaccinated.
Right, because it is, the way we've seen, and I know that it's been a trial, but the way in which we've seen the rollout, in inverted commas, of the medical fraternity, is they did wait for those messages and then dashed over there the minute they got the go-ahead. It didn't work that everybody sort of went at the same time that a whole facility necessarily was going to be vaccinated.
Correct. And it almost, I haven't been closely involved with that, but it almost anecdotally, it seemed a little bit random in a way as to when people got SMSs and where they were asked to go. So we're not quite sure how it's going to pan out. So we're really just covering all bases to the extent that we can with our residents.
Does it differ in terms of your residents that have medical aid? And I don't know what your policy is, if some do, some don't, all do, if it's a requirement. But does it differ whether somebody does have private medical aid or not?
So again, we're not quite sure. What the advice is that certain medical aids have set up their own registration systems or processes. And the advice from them is that one should continue to register on the various government portals as well as with your own medical aid. So how the medical aids will be interacting with the vaccination process that comes from the Department of Health, I'm not 100% sure. The advice certainly is to follow both processes. In other words, to do whatever it is your medical aid suggests to do, as well as to register on the Department of Health portal.
Has there been a lot of anxiety amongst your residents in this regard?
Are you asking in terms of the vaccination process or
yes.
in terms of COVID-19? In terms of the vaccination process, I think because this has been such a protracted pandemic, I think that our residents have, the perception we have is that they've kind of done two things. That they've kind of accepted that this is the way life is for now, and they've really kind of stood up and made the most of it.
Right.
So they are fortunate in that they're living in our professionally managed communities, which they have some form of safety within the communities, if that makes sense.
Right. And some form of social interaction.
Exactly, and social interaction and that kind of thing. So in terms of life on a day-to-day basis, I think they are fairly protected and are able to live a life which is probably more enhanced than someone, say, who isn't living in a community and is interacting with the general public on a day-to-day basis.
Right.
So they're certainly relieved that life can hopefully at some point in the future get back to normal, that there is some kind of light at the end of the tunnel. But to say that there's anxiety about the vaccination, I don't think so. I think they're really just looking forward to this process unfolding and this pandemic coming to an end.
Absolutely. And let's hope that it does. Barry Kagenson, Chief Executive Officer at Aurea Senior Living. Thanks for taking the time to speak to us. It is 7:24. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem. It's 101.9 High FM. I'm